Well, good morning and welcome everyone to Live Dharma Sunday for October 6th, 2013. Oyo Kubosa here, so very glad you joined us. In this morning's headline of the newspaper, it said that the rim fire was contained and burned down, I guess. This rim fire is what the one that's north of Yosemite. It was a big fire, forest fire, and we live on the south side of Yosemite National Park, so it was not really that close to us, although that fire created a lot of soot in the air, and you could see it on the clouds and the horizon in the distance and so forth. But a lot of people contacted us through emails and whatnot and said, gee, fire near Yosemite, is it close to you guys? And so we assured them that we're fine. But this fire, I heard some news of a National Geographic program about the redwood sequoia trees in Yosemite National Park and how the fires actually benefit these trees. These redwood trees, of course, are really magnificent trees, several hundred feet high, thousands of years old they could be, and of course their trunks are the diameter is very wide, and there used to be a picture where they cut a tunnel through a tree and a car could go through it. Magnificent trees, oldest living things on the planet, I think. And you know how Smokey the Bear, they used to say, be real careful with fires. You don't want to create a forest fire. No fires. Now they know that that's not true. I guess Smokey the Bear is retired now because the fires that are caused by in nature by lightning, it really clears away the underbrush and rejuvenates the forest, enables them to new forest to grow, actually. And in addition, this program said that the redwood trees, you know, their cones, I guess, are way high up, and it's only because of a heat of a fire that opens these cones up so that the seeds could fall to the ground. And when the seeds fall to the ground, well, the fire burned up all the bush, underbrush there, so that the seed could, you know, go into the earth. And the trunk of the redwood trees are sort of fireproof. They get charred, but don't burn up. You know, it could be over a foot thick, so they don't burn up when the fire is on the ground there burning up all the brush. And this is the way that the heat of the fire enables the cones to open and drop the seeds, and the seeds get onto the bare ground and starts a new sapling down there. Nature is so, we see the interdependency. I think that not only that teaching about how everything is affecting and interacting and together in nature, but things that human beings thought was bad actually turns out to be good. This is a real lesson for us. We have to watch out our perspectives and we have to have right understanding, not just, oh, we don't want fires because it'll destroy the forest and we can't have the lumber for the lumber industry. Maybe that's the only reason they were thinking about that, or it would destroy a park and we won't have a nice scenery to enjoy as tourists. But if we take a wider view, something that we thought was destructive as forest fire, a larger perspective, that it's very healthy in the long run. So this kind kind of wide perspective, or what in Japanese the word takkan, T-A-K-K-A-N. It's a word I learned some years ago. Takkan means wide perspective or a philosophical perspective, so that we could back up a little bit and not get caught up in our ego self-centered views, and we could take a longer view. We're seeing that we have to do this with global warming, with pollution, and all kinds of things like this. Nature's teaching us. Well, let me introduce today's guest to give a Dharma glimpse. Andy Goyal of New Jersey, part of our LM4 group that finished up the lay ministry program. We're on our LM6 and 7 groups right now. Each program takes 2 years. He had written an article that appeared in our newsletter, the last issue. And at the end of the article, I had put a little editor's note there that I thought it was kind of amazing that we had known each other some 30 years ago when he was a PhD graduate student at the University of North Carolina at Greensboro, and I was on a psychology faculty there, and the grad students and the young faculty, we played basketball and touch football every weekend, and so I knew Andy very well. But after we parted ways from the University of North Carolina, 30 years passed, and I had lost contact, and then he heard about our program and became a lay minister, Bright Dawn lay minister. And karma works in mysterious ways. And some reader of the newsletter read that, and when I met this person, they commented that that's an amazing thing. That you'd be 30 years later, you get back together again. So indeed, the karma of Dharma is amazing. Well, for our Dharma glimpse today, Andy Goyal.
Well, thank you very much, Sensei, and good morning to everyone, wherever you are. Part of what I like to review each morning involves some words from the Buddha that I read within one of Thich Nhat Hanh's books. Each line offers a reminder about the essential nature of our life. I've added an additional line to each of these to clarify that each reminder is not a passive statement, it's actually a call for action. I'm encouraged by my new buddy Wendy Shinyo's recent writings to us. I thought I'd share some expanded thoughts about each of these five key elements. This body is of a nature to get old. I will get old. So I add, so I will enjoy today based upon my many experiences. Age marches on and is the root of impermanence. It never stands still. We all get older, and as with every change, there can be happiness or suffering associated with the change. So many people, especially as they get to 64 or beyond as I am, complain about the many things that are not working or work less well than before. And complain about forgetting this and forgetting, what was that word? But the accumulation of life's experiences is part of why we may be interesting to others. Because of my many experiences, I can enjoy today more fully, more maturely, lingering over parts that are enjoyable without feeling any urge to rush ahead. Without those past experiences, why would I love the ones I love? Without all those experiences that have helped others love me, what joy would I have today? We are the receptacle of the past, a reflection of all that has happened to us. The second line is, this body is of a nature to get sick. I will get sick. So I will enjoy today based upon my relative good health. Am I slower than before? Is my jump shot less jump and more shot? Do various parts ache and may never feel really good again? Sure, but all I need to do is shift my attention a little, and the rest of the real world is apparent. My left shoulder aches, but my right one is fine. I had cataracts and had years of difficulty with vision and color reception, but today I have multifocal lenses and see better than before with all the years of glasses. My knees hurt so much several years ago that I stopped playing basketball for several years and thought I'd never play again. Now I'm playing several times a week. But that will change too. My knees once again will hurt. But will I focus that my fingers are doing just fine? Do I notice that I can smell and taste food each time I eat? My father couldn't do that during the last months of his life. Health is a relative issue. It could always be worse and always be better. So which one will be today's focus? This body is the nature to die. I will die. So today is a good day because I am alive. Why think about death each day? Because it is ever-present, not as a threat, but as a part of the fabric of life. In this very day, nirvana is afoot. It can be found each day. By starting the day with this focus on, hey, I woke up, svaha. Each day starts with celebration before the inevitable dukkha arises. And today is like a present, though I don't believe anyone or anything gave it to me. I'm alive today because of the conditions necessary to support life are adequately in place. But at some point in the future, 5 minutes perhaps, the conditions will change and there will be no life, no Andy. So since I've received the present, a nice thing to do is to share it, help others find joy in this very day. Anything less would be truly selfish. This body is of the nature to lose connection with all friends and relatives. I will lose connection with all friends and relatives. So I will cherish the connection with all friends and relatives today. In part, the full contemplation of this one is tougher than the prior one. Perhaps because of my age, I find it easier to think about my own death than that of Lori, my children, my grandchildren. Of course, part of the connection will be severed whether I die or whether they die. This thought is agonizing to many parents who seek to protect their children from all potential harm and may thus deny those children interaction with the world as it is. So once I absorb deeply that my connection with those I love is limited, what should I do? I should make sure that this very day is filled with cherishing, expanding, fulfilling, and nourishing interactions with them. Even with that daily reminder, life makes sure that I often fail miserably at the same. Recently, a dear friend and a business partner whom I've known for over 25 years complained about extreme fatigue. We all urged him to get to his doctor. Eventually, the doctor ordered a heart monitor. That was on a Monday. He promised he'd let me know how it went. Mid-Tuesday, I realized I hadn't heard from him, so I texted him. He responded at 6:30 in the evening that he had an EKG indicating a mass in his heart and that the hospital wanted to get another test on Tuesday morning, but they were confident that whatever it was, they could really help him. Ed had texted around 8:30 at night and thought, oh, it's too late to bother him at a hospital, so I'll call him in the morning, and I just texted him. He had a heart attack at midnight and passed away without that last conversation because I thought there was more time. This body is of a nature to be responsible for the outcomes of its actions. I am responsible for the outcome of my actions. So I will choose my actions carefully and monitor the outcome of all my behaviors, both intentional and unintentional. I recognize that the Buddha didn't differentiate between intentional and unintentional, and that is why I realized I'm responsible for both, not just what did I intend to happen. There are consequences for all actions. Some involve things that happen. Some involve things that don't happen. I help someone out of the car. I don't help because I'm too busy with my own agenda, and that person falls getting out of the car. We are responsible for action and inaction, intentional outcomes and accidental outcomes. Why? Because of conditioned arising. This is because that is. This isn't because that isn't. This isn't because that is. This is because this isn't. All four are part of the real world. And we live in the real world, not the world we intend or even want to live in. So I choose my behaviors with apamada, the Buddha's last word. Without using care, I would be not only interacting in a careless manner, I would also would act as if I wouldn't care about what happens. But I also need to monitor the outcome of my actions. I may indeed have used the best care possible, and yet my action or lack therein may cause others to suffer. And I end my meditation with, I will seek the Buddha nature in others and try to express the Buddha nature in myself. Here's to your own happiness on your path today. Thank you.
Thank you very much. As I listen to this morning daily recitations, remembrances, I'm reminded Andy's Dharma name is Goyo. Go means strong. And Yo, of course, all of our lay ministers get the character, second character, Yo, in their Dharma name for the sons. And this was started by my father's teacher, Reverend Haya Akigarasu. He gave all of his disciples Dharma names that related to the sun or the dawn, the light. And my father gave names to his children having to do with the light. And being a minister's son, when I was born, he gave me a middle name, or my Dharma name, of Koyo. Ko means to face. So my Dharma name means to face the sun. And of course the sun represents light and life, wisdom and compassion, and so forth. But for Andy, Dharma name Koyo, Ko is strong, strong son. And I thought of his name because, you know, in his Dharma glimpse this morning, Andy mentioned playing sports, and you know, he has a strong body. So it's a characteristic of him as a person of some strength. And of course, not only in physical aspect, but in his practice, I see it in his faith, in his the way he treads upon the path. There is a strength there, and Dharma name is supposed to not only sort of describe a person, but also be there as a source of inspiration. And for the person on down the line, in, you know, in a lot of ways. And so I'm hoping that he will continue to find that strong sun, that light. It's not that it's strong, but it's always getting stronger. You know, it's really a verb and not a noun. These are the causes and conditions. And I think that's evident in his remembrances. You think there's a certain condition, but because of that condition, whether it's getting older or sick, or the fact that you're dying, it's really not that these so-called afflictions of humanness, human life, is the cause of our human dilemma, because that X is not really the problem. It's how we deal with that X that could be the problem and the solution too, you see. And that's evident in the next phrase, the actual additional phrase that he adds on to it. Instead of saying, well, we're getting older, God, well, you know. Wow. Let's look at aspects of it that have, where sometimes black becomes white. It's like the forest fire. Okay. Something we thought was dark and bad, okay, could be in another context, in another way, looked at from a different perspective. Okay. It's a source that we grew from that would not have been possible, not in spite of that, or despite of, in spite of the condition, but because of it, you know, our life became enriched. And same thing, we get sick. If we didn't get sick, we would never really appreciate our health. we get a visit from the sick Buddha, sickness Buddha, not the sick Buddha, the sick Buddha of sickness. And then, you know, he brings some teachings to us. And if we accept and don't fight when we get sick, then we say, hey, this is a time when I could recharge my batteries. When you're sick, be sick. And death too. That's, well, I'm alive. I'm not going to live forever. My strong body, okay? But I do have now. We will lose family, loved ones. But my father's favorite teaching in Japanese is Ichigo Ichie. In one lifetime, only one meeting. When you really realize the fact of changing conditions and the fact that tomorrow is not guaranteed anyone, we don't, can't take for granted that we'll see our loved one's face the next morning, then by golly, we should treat each moment as the only time we meet. Our whole lifetime is the only time we meet, right now, right now. And make this the most meaningful, authentic, creative meaning. That's the teaching that Ichigo Ichie. So like each time is the last time. In all of this whole lifetime, you only meet once, right now. It really creates a vibrant 180-degree kind of turnabout in terms of how we live our life. And indeed, we need to be reminded of this. It's always a work in progress. Well, thank you, thank you. That's all for today's broadcast. Till next time, you keep going, and you have a very beautiful October 6th. Thank you.